Romans chapter 5, and we are going to read just one verse, start with verse number 18. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Let's pray. Dear Father, we just thank you again that we can come before you today and we can gather. We have that freedom and safety to be able to do that. We thank you for just watching over us through these many months, keeping us safe. And we just thank you for all that you are for us. And we just pray you'd help us today as we learn of you once again. You'd help us to be a thankful people as you desire. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Throughout this year, of course, we've been considering the idea of having 2020 spiritual vision, that we would see the world not just by sight, but by faith, that we would recognize what is kind of behind the scenes going on, recognize what's really important. And, of course, in that, we've covered a lot of territory. Our focus has been on recognizing what the Bible declares about spiritual things, of God himself, of angels and of the devil, and also what the Bible declares about eternal things, of heaven and hell and judgment to come and eternity itself. And, of course, with all of it, as we look into God's Word, we see that based on the knowledge God has given us of the reality and certainty of these things, that should affect how we live now. That because of the truth, we know what he's declaring to us, that we should live differently than the world. Because we have a different perspective, we see things differently than they do. And so, in this, we do want to understand there is a perspective God wants us to have. He wants us to, they're essentially, that there are lenses, we could say, through which we need to learn to view the world. Most of you here seem to have pretty good eyesight, but of course, for some of us, myself included, is we need to have glasses. If we don't have glasses, everything's blurry. We really find it hard to make things out, hard to really make our way through life. That certainly, I know for myself, I can't drive without my glasses. I can't read without my glasses unless it's like right up like this. And it just, there's a necessity for that. And we understand that. But spiritually speaking, we want to think of that too, is that in many ways our vision, especially our spiritual vision, is impaired. That we need, God has different lenses that he gives us to help us to see things properly. If we don't have those lenses, what's going to happen is we're going to not see things as they are. We're going to struggle to find our way in life. We're going to end up stumbling around in life, causing ourselves and others harm. And ultimately, we want to identify that the lenses through which he wants us to view the world are the lenses of faith, where we trust in God, we trust in what his word says, and of course, our faith, as we looked at in Sunday school, our faith is always demonstrated by our obedience. And so when God calls us to do something in his word, he calls us to have a certain perspective. We need to accept that. We need to be obedient to it, even though in the moment we may not understand. But we don't need to understand to obey. But as we, by faith, do so, we soon discover some blessed truth that he wants to impart to us. And so this is very evident as we meditate on this verse in 1 Thessalonians 5, where God calls us as his people to be thankful. Of course, tomorrow is the day that we celebrate Thanksgiving here in Canada. It's a day our forefathers chose for us as a nation to give gratitude to God for all we enjoy. and we recognize the wisdom they had in so doing. We know that it is a good reminder for us to just take some time to be with family, of course, but as well to take some time to be thankful, to just look back on what God has done, what God has given us, to count our blessings, to just realize how blessed that we are. But of course, we understand having a day of Thanksgiving on our calendar, it doesn't mean that we get to gripe and complain for the other 364 days. Then this day, okay, we're going to stop doing that and have one day to be thankful, and then Tuesday we go back to griping and complaining. That no, we really understand, especially as God's people, we should be thankful every day of the year, and Thanksgiving should really just be the capstone of a year of thankfulness for us. And it's clear from his word in this passage here that we've just read and others that God wants us to give thanks. He wants us as his people to be a thankful people. We see in other places, Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful." Verse 17 of the same chapter, he says, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." So everything that we do, we're supposed to be doing it giving thanks. We see as well in Hebrews chapter 13. In verse 15 it says, "By him let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." That continually we're to be praising and thanking God for who he is and for what he has done. And I think of all the passages in the Bible, this one here in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 is the one that really lays it out as plainly as it could be. And in the terms in which it lays it out, it is very significant, because it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." That it isn't just a suggestion, that God is saying that this is my will for your life, for you to be thankful. And so for us to fail to be thankful, we would equate that with stepping out of God's will for our life. That it would be disobedience. We think of it as well. Jesus asked us to pray when he gave the model prayer while he was had the Sermon on the Mount. He said, "We're to pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And so how can we pray for his will to be done, but then for us ourselves to do the opposite of our will? That's contradictory. That isn't right. And so when we see this passage in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and we see the wording that is given, we know that we cannot brush this idea of thankfulness off as being no big deal. That Scripture itself attests to the seriousness with which we should approach this question of thankfulness. We know it's something, if it's God's will, it's what pleases him. And so we should want to please him. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1, it says, "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more." And so if we know that being thankful pleases God, we should want to abound in doing so. And of course, we know that when we please God, blessings come to our life. But in contrast, we know that when God is displeased with us, it does not go well for us. We consider the children of Israel in the wilderness, that it says in Numbers 11, verse 1, it says, "When the people complained, it displeased the Lord." And in that instance, he brought fiery serpents amongst them, and different things happened. Maybe that wasn't in that situation specifically, but we see that they murmured and complained, and bad things always happen when that happened, that God was not pleased with them. We see that testimony in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5, where he said, maybe it's 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 5. It says, "But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." And so we want to understand that, that God, of course, is still the same God today as he was back then, that it isn't something where he was serious in dealing with those that complained in the past, that we get a pass nowadays, that it's no big deal now. If anything, we know that we're more accountable because we have the whole Word of God given to us. And so we know from the Scriptures that we should be thankful. But it isn't always, we don't always find it easy to be thankful based on the circumstances we experience. And certainly you think with this past year and all that has happened, 2020 has been a very challenging year. We've been dealing with this coronavirus that's engulfed the world, and there's been a lot of things that have happened as a result. People have lost their jobs. There's a great deal of uncertainty with that, and I think there's a lot that's happening from that that maybe didn't need to happen, but we see things are up in the air, and there's been a lot of challenges. And so we sometimes wonder, well, how can I be thankful in these situations? How can I be thankful with all these bad things that seem to be happening? And we look at this verse and we meditate on it. We may think that we have a loophole here because it says here, in everything give thanks. And so we could kind of say, well, wait a minute, I can find things to be thankful for in this situation, even though I'm not liking this situation. I can be thankful that it isn't worse than what it is. I can be thankful maybe that my finances aren't as affected as other people's are. I can be thankful that I haven't gotten this disease and that I'm healthy. There's things that we can be thankful for, but we don't necessarily specifically have to be thankful for everything. And so that's what we would hope to say. And certainly counting our blessings, finding ways to look at things where we can find ways to be thankful even in difficult situations is important. But we do want to understand that there's no loophole here when it comes to thankfulness. That if there was, God closes it in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, he says, be not drunk with wine, which is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're not just to give thanks in all things, we're also to give thanks for all things. And we're to do it always. That there's no exceptions. Things that are expected, things that are unexpected, things that we hope for, things that we hope would never happen, that we still need to be thankful. And for us, that sometimes seems very difficult. With some situations, things that have happened in our lives, it may seem to us to be absolutely impossible. How can I be thankful for this tragedy, for this loss, for this terrible thing that happened in my life? We just don't think that we can do that. Don't think that there's a way that we can be thankful for it. But we want to understand that this is thankfulness. It is God's will. And as we live by faith, it is an act of obedience that demonstrates our faith. And we want to understand, too, that with God saying he wants us to be thankful, this is his will for us, we want to understand that he's trying to help us. He wants us to be thankful for our own sake much more than for his sake. To gripe, to murmur and complain, that's a fleshly reaction, and it's an overreaction to the circumstances of life, and it doesn't take us anywhere good. He wants us instead to have a measured, faith-based, spiritual response to our circumstances, where we see things through the eyes of faith, and we learn to be thankful regardless of what happens. And so he wants us essentially to view the world from the perspective of thankfulness. He wants us to see the world through the lens of gratitude. And when we don't, or we're not able to do that, We're not going to see life as it really is. Everything's going to be blurry. Things are not going to make sense. It's going to leave us confused. And we're going to struggle to find our way in life as a result. And we really want to understand that. When we get into the mindset of ingratitude, of not being thankful, that does not lead us to a good place at all. It leads us down a very dark path. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. We see this laid out, and in this passage, really it is, details really a descent into debauchery of mankind and how a person gets to a place of great wickedness, where they turn towards idolatry and various self-destructive lusts and the cruelty and all kinds of different evil. And we're not going to go through the whole list here of what it is, but what we want to see is where it begins, because it talks about the wrath of God is revealed against those who hold the truth in unrighteousness, verse 18. And the things of creation are clearly seen, so people are without excuse that they can see God, God's handiwork by what has been created. But we see what it says in verse 21. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And so we see that this descent into darkness, descent into disobedience, descent into debauchery, where do we see where it begins? It says they didn't glorify God as God, and they weren't thankful. And we want to realize that is there for a reason, and it's a warning for us. And of course, sometimes we might look at this, well, this is only really talking about like lost people that are heathen, that are turned away from God. But I think we want to recognize that we need, it's here for our learning as well. It is good to all scripture is, of course, given by God. It's profitable for us for doctrine, reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. To show us what's right, show us when we're off of what's right, and it gets back on the right path. And it's a thing that when we get to a place where ingratitude gets a hold of us, when we are unthankful, where we are not following God's will in this, what happens is we don't appreciate what we have. We don't appreciate the one who has given what we have to us. We turn from the light to the darkness. We come to despise the Lord. We can come to insist that He is being mean and unfair to us and what has happened. And we can even start to justify ourselves in further disobedience. And we can find ourselves getting to a point far away from where we ever expected to be if we allow the seed of ingratitude to grow and flourish in our lives. And we want to really kind of identify what is the source of all of this. And we identify it as an issue of the heart, that our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, as God declares in Jeremiah 17:9. And we really want to identify some of those hard issues that first off we realize what is at the base of a heart of ingratitude so often for us is our pride. Because what happens is we can have this idea of who we are and have a sense of what we figure we're entitled to, what we figure we deserve, and many times we figure we know much better than God as to what we actually should be coming down the pipe into our life. And these things come and we say, wait a minute, God, why are you bringing this into my life? This is not what I asked for. I do not appreciate this. You need to send it back and bring something else. We almost kind of think God is our waiter, that we can just put in our order and He'll give us exactly what we want. And that isn't how it works. But it's the thing is that sometimes we get a higher view of ourselves than we ought to. And we think, well, why is God allowing this to happen? This isn't right. This isn't fair. And we can get to a place where we're doubting God's wisdom, doubting God's love, that he doesn't really know what he's doing. He sent this to me. He sent it to the wrong address. It should have happened to this other person that's not serving God as I am. How did this happen? This is a mix-up. Sometimes we start doubting God's love, that we think, oh, well, maybe he doesn't really care. Maybe he's not the God that I thought he was. Maybe he doesn't really love me. Maybe he doesn't really, he isn't a just God because of this that happened. But a lot of times, too, with it, we want to identify that much of this can be fueled by envy and covetousness within our hearts, that we're not content with what God has given us. We haven't learned that lesson as Paul did, that we wish what somebody else had, and we throw a fit because we didn't get what we want. And when we do that, we're devaluing all that we have been given. And I think we've seen that with young kids, whether it's your own children or maybe nephews or nieces, where they have something and they really like it, but then if somebody else opens a present and it's something they like more, it's like they throw their present down and act like it's not worth anything anymore, right? And that's the thing, is that sometimes as adults we can get into that mindset too, or not have actually broken ourselves from that, from our youth. And we really want to identify that ingratitude is a snare that the devil is trying to trap us in. We consider from the very beginning, Adam and Eve, what did God say to them? He said, he put them in this garden, and he says, of all the trees in the garden, you may freely eat, except for one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The day you eat of that, you'll surely die. But you just think of how much of an abundance of trees that they had. And it's, I know for living here in Saskatchewan, it can be kind of limited, the amount of different trees and fruit that we can grow, and that we wish that we could plant, like peaches and a lot of other things, and just because of our growing conditions are not there. But to have this place where there's this bounty of pears and peaches and apricots and grapes and kiwi and everything that you could ever want, and to have it in abundance as much as you want. You don't have to go to the grocery store and pay through the nose for it because it's out of season. They could have it all the time as much as they wanted. That they had an abundance to enjoy that God gave them. But what happened? That the devil got them so twisted around their minds that they turned their back on the abundance that God had provided. And they were convinced that God was depriving them because of this one tree in that huge garden full of trees that he said, you can't eat of this tree. And so we see that's how he works and how he wants us to not see what God has given and to only focus on the one thing he says we can't have right now. And it gets us into such a bad position. And we miss out on so much, and we end up we don't appreciate what we have, but a lot of times we throw it away to try to get something else that we think is going to be what we want, and we find out we have nothing. It's kind of like that dog in Aesop's fables, that he had this big bone he was carrying in his mouth, and he was rushing home, he was going to enjoy it, but he goes across a bridge and he looks over in the water and he sees this other dog with the big bone. And of course it's his reflection, but he doesn't recognize that. And he sees, oh, there's this other dog with a bone just as big as mine. And I think, boy, if I can steal that from him, now I'll have two bones and I'll be so much better. And so he quick tried to reach and grab that bone from the other dog, but in so doing, he dropped his own bone. It fell in the water, and he went from having one bone that he enjoyed to thinking he could have two bones to not having anything at all. And so we want to understand that God's trying to help us. He's trying to deliver us from this trap that the devil's putting in front of us. That if we see things through really the dirty lens of ingratitude, we're going to be reaching for what is not good for us. and we're going to be throwing away the good that we have in the process. We will gain nothing, and we will lose everything. And so God is trying to help us to avoid that loss, avoid that heartache and sorrow. And so He's trying to help us. He's giving us the glasses of gratitude. He wants us to see life through the lenses of gratitude. And so it's the thing, as we start to see what we have, we learn to be thankful for everything God has given, even things we don't understand why He's given to us. We learn to be thankful and to give thanks in all things and for all things. When we do that, what becomes clear to us is the goodness and the righteousness of God. That comes into very sharp focus when we see the world through the lenses of gratitude. We see in Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9, says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works." That we see that when we're thankful, that we see all that God has done and just how good He is, and just for some of the little mercies that He gives of just every day of things that happen, of where things could have gone one way and they went another, and they could have, they maybe didn't go as good as we hoped, but they could have gone much worse. And we see as well, verse 17 of that same passage, "The Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works." That we, when we're thankful to God, we see Him as being righteous. That everything He does is just. We're not second-guessing Him. We're accepting what He's doing in our life. As well, we understand when we see the world through the lenses of gratitude, we also recognize His mercy. His mercy. We see in Psalm 103, verses 10 and 11, it says, "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor reward us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards them that fear Him." That we understand that we're sinners. We understand that we've sinned against the Holy God, and that if we are asking God to give us what we deserve, then all that we should expect is death and sorrow and punishment and hell. That's what we earned by our sins. But yet we see that He's merciful to us. He doesn't give us according to our sins. He's long-suffering to us. We see in Lamentations 3, verse 22 and 23, it says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." That we really start to take stock and we think, okay, based on what I actually deserve in life, on who I am, on what I've done, that what God has given me, that the fact that I'm not dead right now, that we think of different mistakes we've made that could have been fatal, perhaps, in the past, that God has spared our lives and given us a second chance. And we see that with, even though we are sinners, that Jesus died for us. He paid the penalty for our sins. And as we come to Him in faith, that we can have forgiveness of our sins. All that guilt and shame can be swept away. We can be cleansed like we've never sinned at all. He welcomes us into His family. We're adopted as His children. He gives us His Holy Spirit within us to strengthen us, to guide us, to comfort us. He gives us purpose. He gives us places of calling upon our lives. He blesses us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He gives us an eternal inheritance that we can wait for. And look forward to that when we take stock of all those things, we start to really count our blessings and evaluate all that God has given us. We realize there is so much for us to be thankful for. And two, furthermore, with the whole idea of seeing the world through the lens of gratitude, We recognize also that with what God is doing, we see what it says in Romans 8:28, where he says, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow them, he did predestinate to conform the image of his Son, that he might become the firstborn of many brethren." That we know that everything that happens, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, or a wanted thing or an unwanted thing, we know that God is able to make it work out for something good in our lives if we have the right attitude, if we love God and we respond properly. Because what is he trying to do? He's trying to conform us to the image of his Son. That's his plan and purpose for us. And so for that to happen, he knows that there's things we're going to need to be tested in, we need to be challenged in, that we think that if we're going to experience the fellowship of Christ's sufferings, we're going to need to go through some sufferings to have that be a refining fire within our lives. And so these things that happen that we didn't hope for, things of sadness, things of tragedy and loss and failure and other things, that we want to look at them for what they are, that they are opportunities God has put in our lives for us to grow spiritually, for us to allow some of the old flesh and the old sin nature to be stripped away, and instead that God's Spirit takes the lead in our lives, and that it's an opportunity for us to glorify God by having the proper response. That everything that happens, we read, okay, there's a lesson to learn in this, there's progress to be made, that this is seems to be an obstacle. It could be a stumbling block to me, but God wants it to become a stepping stone. And I need to see it that way, that I'm not complaining about what this is in front of me and how it's keeping me from what I want. It may be something that's actually getting me to where I need to be in life. And so we need to see these things, and even though we don't understand them, even though we didn't ask for them, we say, okay, Lord, I trust you. I don't know why you're doing this, but I need to accept it. I need to be thankful for it. I need to respond in the right way. And just trust your wisdom, trust your love, and by faith, be thankful. Then we consider what it says in James chapter 1, verse 17, where it says, "Every good and every perfect gift cometh from above." Let me just turn there. "Is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." That we look at these things that happen as being gifts from God. And it's kind of the thing is that sometimes I think we maybe experienced that sometimes when it's our birthday or Christmas that we get gifts we didn't necessarily ask for and we don't necessarily appreciate that at the time, but then later on we realize, hey, this was actually of great value and practicality. I needed this. The person was thinking of me, and this was a good gift. And that's the way it is, that God knows our needs. We see what Jesus says that if we being evil know how to give good gifts, does not our Heavenly Father know all the better how to give good gifts to us? And so things that are happening, we look at them, thinking, this is something that's given to me by God. I don't necessarily want what I want it for, what I expected, but I need to be thankful and see how he can use this in my life for something good. So when we think of Job in the Old Testament, that he was one that was able, that had this really figured out. He was a man of faith, but he was able to see the world through the lens of gratitude, even in the midst of tremendous loss and sorrow and suffering. We see the testimony after he heard that all of his livestock were killed or stolen, and that all of his children were dead. We find in Job 1, verse 20 and 21, 22, it says, "When Job rose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And later, when he was smitten with boils from the sole of his foot into the crown of his head, he was in terrible physical suffering. His wife said to him, "Dost thou retain thy integrity? Curse God and die." And he says, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" And all this Job did not sin with his lips. They even see him testify later in Job. He says, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." And that he wasn't going to remove his integrity from him. And so we see that he had that attitude, that he was of gratitude towards God for whatever God came. If God sends me what I look as being good, if he sends me what's evil, I need to receive it and be thankful for what he's doing. And of course, as we see the rest of the story with Job, God was doing a work in him that was necessary. And we see afterward that great blessings came to him afterwards. And that it was worth it, even though in the time it didn't make sense. And so we need to learn from Job. We need to take what God gives us. We need to accept it. And we need to be thankful for it. We think of the Apostle Paul, that he learned to do that as well. That there was a time in Philippi where they were starting to share God's word. They met with Lydia and the group of women that were meeting, and she came to know the Lord as Savior. They had gotten this one poor girl that was possessed with the spirit of divination. They liberated from that, but they got beaten by those who had profited off her unholy abilities, and they were thrown in prison, their feet put in the stocks. But what do we find with Paul and Silas? That they were up at midnight praising the Lord. And we see in later on in the book of Philippians, the epistle of the Philippians, which Paul wrote from jail, that And we with the story we know in Acts of how he was wrongly imprisoned in Jerusalem, and then through all that he had to go as a prisoner to Rome, that we see his testimony in Philippians 1 and verse 12. He says, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." And so we saw that people are preaching Christ, and we see that because of that he rejoiced. And it's kind of the thing, is that all this stuff that happened, he didn't quite understand why it was happening, but it's like as he stepped back from it now, looking at it with the eyes of gratitude, that things had fallen into place. It says, this made sense. This was something necessary. God brought something good out of this. And I'm going to rejoice. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to feel sorry for myself. Okay, God's gospel is going forward. That's what matters. And so I'm thankful. And so, it's the thing, is that we need to identify in gratitude for the snare of our souls that it is. And we need to choose in faith and obedience to see the world through the lens of gratitude. In everything, we need to give thanks. For everything, we need to give thanks. That we need to be thankful people. And you think of it that way, of being thankful, that what we're full of is what is going to come out when we're placed under pressure. When difficulty, when hardship comes, what bubbles out? Is it griping, complaining, being miserable? Or is it thankfulness? Is there still a smile on our face? Is there still joy in our hearts? If the devil hits us, we say, is that the best you can do? And we keep on smiling. We keep on being thankful. We do that, it drives them nuts. And more importantly, I think we realize that when we do that, when we respond in that way, it is a tremendous testimony. That lost people stand back, they see what we're going through, and they see that we're still happy, see that we're still thankful. They start to wonder, how is that possible? And when they do that, they see that your faith is real. They see that God is real to you, and it makes them want to find out more. The surest way to turn people off to your Christianity is by grumbling, complaining about how bad a job you think God is doing of looking after you. And so let us be a thankful people for the sake of the God who loves us, for our own sakes, and for the sake of the lost who we seek to win for Christ. Let us have 20/20 spiritual vision. Let us see our world through the eyes of faith. Let us see our world through the lens of gratitude. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for all you've done. We thank you for the things you've brought in our life that in the times we didn't understand them, we wouldn't have asked for them in a million years, that now looking back we realize we needed those things and they were something good that happened in our lives. And Lord, we pray as well that there may be things that we experienced that we just didn't understand and we've been upset about. Just help us to see by faith that there is good that you want to bring out of them if we have the right attitude and response in them. And so Lord, help us to trust you, help us to see things as you would have us to see them, and help us to be thankful that you might be honored and glorified in our lives. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's all stand and we'll turn to the last hymn, one I think we're all familiar with and some we need to always be doing, and that's to count our blessings, number 374.